You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now present Jesus with Us, Reflections of Joy, hosted by Mary Angela Artuso and Nick Mossa.
May you know the joy of Jesus, and may the joy of Jesus.
Hello, dear friends. Welcome to our program, Jesus with Us, Reflections of Joy. We are Mary Angela and Nick.
And Nick. Hello, everyone.
Hi. So wonderful to be with you. And thank you for joining us. Thank you especially, you know, to all the listeners from all over Canada and especially all those from All Saints, our parish.
So before we start our show, we'd just like you to, as usual, relax, take a deep breath, light that candle of hope. Just we get into the moment of prayer. And speaking of which, before our prayer, we will start with some intentions. We pray for the first intention to the end of the pandemic, the sick and suffering. For those suffering, my brother John, cousin Frank, a good friend of ours, Jim, and we take a moment to stop and pray for your intentions.
And we also pray for the repose of the soul of Father Vito Marzigliano, who recently died. We, you know, have him in our thoughts and prayers and to his family as well. So we begin with a prayer. My precious and crucified Lord, I offer you this Lent, total abandonment and trust. Do with me, Lord, as you will. I pray that this Lent will be fruitful, where your mercy is poured in abundance into the souls of all your faithful. Bring forth new life through these sacrifices of love. Blessed Mother, you stood by your Son in his suffering and death. Stand by me, I pray, as I journey through this life, especially during Lent. Pray for me and offer me to your Son, that he may take me into his loving embrace. Amen.
Amen.
So
this evening, we plan to talk about Lent.
Yes.
And how to go deeper in the next 40 days, because Lent.
We're here.
We're already here. So the show is going to be about Lent, but we would also like to talk a little bit at the beginning about Father Vito and his passing. And we will talk a little bit more at the end of our show about how much he meant to, you know, to so many people, being such a wonderful Catholic priest. So Father Vito Marzigliano was a son, a brother, an uncle, a leader, a church builder, a friend, a genuine holy soul, a priest, and a disciple of Christ. The only thing bigger than his smile was his heart, and he was always filled with joy and the love of Jesus. He had a wonderful, loving family.
A large family.
Yeah, a large, loving family. From a little town of San Nicandro di Bari, and with that love and passion from, this small, beautiful little town, strong family values, I think they greatly influenced, there were great influence in him becoming a priest.
Mm-hmm. And his calling was to be a shepherd, and boy, did he guide us towards Jesus and to evangelize so we can all be a witness.
You know, he was kind of like that the holy traffic cop saying, this way to Jesus, turn right, keep going.
And he showed us that way directly to Jesus. He always also had time for everyone. When you saw him and encountered him, he was always present to you. And it was always that personal experience with him.
Right? Even if there were hundreds of people around, you were the most important to him at that time.
Yeah. And he was all about community building and bringing the community together and leading all the faithful of the church. He always preached the gospel of the good news, a message we really need to hear, you know, especially today, nowadays, right? He loved life. You could tell he loved life because he always had that smile. And he preached about the sanctity of life from beginning till the end.
One of his favorite gospel readings or passages is Ducun Altum, meaning go out into the deep. So he always kind of like mentioned or challenged us to go deeper into your faith. Don't be happy where you are. The deeper you go, the more you will know the love of Jesus.
Yeah, and so you could also say that Father Vito was instrumental in getting our program at Radio Maria and getting me in particular involved at Radio Maria. It was back in 2002, just after World Youth Day in Toronto.
Just felt like yesterday.
Yeah. Like I volunteered at World Youth Day, had wonderful experience there. And I was just looking for something more, like more ways I could be involved in the church. And I learned that Father Vito was at Radio Maria. He was doing a youth program, doing the rosary with the youth and a Bible study. So I thought, well, you know, maybe I can join them. I felt comfortable stepping in because I knew he was there. Father Vito was there because he was like, you know, someone that was always inviting.
So Jesus was tapping on your shoulder.
Yes, he was. So I started going. And then after a few weeks, like a good teacher that he was, he had that gradual release of responsibility. He said, okay, now it's over to you. You take over and keep it going. To a small group of us, he said that. So we kept it going. And this led to the those at Radio Maria to ask me to start a children's prayer program. So I started that. This led to my meeting Nick, and we started the youth, you know, our young adults program.
Yeah, we changed
which
the format,
eventually led to this program,
Jesus,
right?
Jesus with us, reflections of joy.
And that's where we are now.
And so, you know, the joy that we hope to bring to everyone listening, one of the genesis moments of, like Marianne just said, of this program was because of Father Vito and his influence and inspiration.
Yes.
Especially to young people to get to know Christ. And, you know, there's so many joyful things you will encounter. And so we could go on for hours and hours talking about the wonderful things he did all his life. There's a song that we really could, you know, really explain Father Vito. And we'll play a short little clip of it, but it's called The City of God. And a few verses from it are,
let us build the city of God. May our tears be turned into dancing. For the Lord, our light and our love, has turned the night into day. And so when we hear this song, we think this is Father Vito.
This is Father Vito. So we will play a short clip of this wonderful song and from a good friend of ours, Dan Smith.
Yeah.
And then we will start the next part of our show on Lent.
And we'll be right back.
Welcome back, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. We start our next part of the program on Lent. Lent is the penitential season of approximately 40 days set aside by the church to let God into our hearts. It is done in order for the faithful to prepare for the celebration of the Lord's passion, death, and resurrection. During this holy season, church members prepare for Easter by recalling baptism and by the works of penance. Each year, the church observes Lent. The goal of every Christian is to leave Lent closer to God, to have a stronger relationship with God, and to become stronger in our faith, stronger at the end before we entered Lent.
Yes, than before we entered, yeah. And the significance of the 40 days or 40 weekdays before Easter is based on two biblical accounts. First is the 40 years of the wilderness wandering by Moses and the Israelites. And the other is our Lord's 40 days that he spent in the desert, in the wilderness, at which point he was tempted by Satan. So for the next 40 days, we as the faithful, we must willingly submit to fasting and self-denial in the imitation of our Lord's 40-day fast in the desert. And it's in these dark and still nights, these desert times, that the soul experiences its greatest growth.
Yeah. Darkness and still nights, you know, it's kind of challenging. A lot of people avoid it, right? But there in the inner arena, the soul battles the world, the flesh and the devil, just as our Lord battles Satan's triple temptation in the desert. His battle was external, for Jesus could not sin. Our battle is interior. But with a hope sustained by the knowledge of Christ's Easter victory over sin and death. Question is, have we allowed the COVID to drain us?
It's now been two years.
Wow.
Has it been taking a toll on us?
Over 700 days, you know. How about the daily drama? Has that drained us has that kind of deadened our holiness and going to church? It's about going deeper in our faith. Mm-hmm. Jesus' victory is our renewal. In this penitential season, we have the opportunity to make an annual spiritual tune-up, a cleansing, a 40-day retreat with our Lord. So let's do it.
Yes, let's do that tune-up and cleansing. So, yeah, Lent is all about preparation, but then how do we prepare? There's three ways during Lent that we prepare. First is through prayer itself, and prayer is our relationship with God. So during Lent, what we can do is we can focus on our need for God and his forgiveness and repent and turn away from our sins. And by doing so, we can receive God's mercy and love. The second way is by fasting or giving up something. That's a very common practice during Lent. Often, you know, you hear people say, oh, I'll give up chocolate and cookies and, alcohol or some things like that.
It's a start.
And the idea is to give up something that distracts us from keeping God at the center of our lives, that can be a reminder of Jesus's sacrifice, because we're sacrificing this thing, right? And that time can also be replaced with more time connecting with God and, you know, really getting to know him.
And the third one is giving of our time, talents, or money. Or another way, you know, they say it's almsgiving, right?
Almsgiving,
you know,
yeah.
You know, we can spend time volunteering. We can give money. Let's be radical, you know, in what we give. Let's think about giving in a different way, right?
Yeah.
So when is it? Well, we start with Ash Wednesday, and this year it's March 2nd. Ashes remind us of our mortality. Remember that you are dust. And thus, of the day when we stand before God and be judged. Being marked with ashes at the beginning of Lent indicates our recognition of the need for deeper conversion of our lives during this season of renewal.
And so ashes are from blessed palm branches that come from the previous Palm Sunday. So keep your palms, right? And yep. give it to the church because they need it and use it during Ash Wednesday. The ashes are sprinkled with holy water and incense before distribution. So ashes are applied on our forehead in the sign of a cross. And as these words are said, turn away from sin and be faithful to the gospel. And what these words do is emphasize our call to continual conversion and holiness of life.
So to simplify the three things we mentioned, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, or maybe more, I think fasting, is this Lent, we ask everyone out there not to do too much, do what you can to become closer to the Lord, but what is the necessary thing that blocks your relationship with Jesus? Mm-hmm. It could be anything. We leave it up to you. Please reflect on that. So find out what it is and work on that. Because sometimes we may be so focused on, let's say, not eating chocolates or we want to go to mass every day and we're we have to go. We get distracted. Yes, it's nice to go, but what is the necessary thing we need to do so that it won't distract or confuse us, right? Like sometimes we can do too much during Lent.
Yes.
So we need to simplify and focus on the core, maybe one, two things.
And if giving up that chocolate or, you know, trying to do that duty of going to mass every day, if that makes us, you know, grumpy,
yeah.
then what's the point?
Yeah, don't be grumpy. Don't have a grumpy right? Lent. Have a Lent yeah. where we abandon things for God's mercy.
And right.
We have
to build that relationship with God.
We have
right?
to be joyful in being radical.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's
Let's
not
do
easy.
It with a smile on our
so
face.
So that's just, you know, trying to simplify it, right? Mm-hmm. Don't do too much. Just what's needed, right? Mm-hmm.
What's going to bring us closer?
As Henry Nouwen said, what is the necessary thing? Mm-hmm. And again, this is a year, the 2022, a year of renewal.
Yes.
So in doing Lent, what will renew us?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And some words we have for Lent or this Lenten season is repent, atonement, enlightenment, patience,
tolerance, sacrifice, focus, joy, forgive, silence,
stillness, mercy, into the deep, renewal, rekindle,
restoration, peace, making time
for God,
retreat.
Amen.
So I looked into a little bit about the history of Lent. And as we were saying, you know, the purpose of Lent is all about preparation for the season of Easter. And why preparation? Well, there's these two important points or elements of preparation that comes, you know, the history. First is the catechumens. We see in history that there were those that were preparing for baptism into the church, an important part of becoming Christian during Lent. And secondly, another important part is the order of penitence. And those that have committed a mortal sin are taking action to come back into the church. So these were the people that were not receiving communion with the rest of the church. And they were recognized because they wore special garments and were fasting. And this was a tradition, there was a tradition of putting ashes on at the beginning of the season of Lent and carrying it all through Lent. It was a sign that they wanted to be, because they were so, you know, repentful, right? They wanted to be reconciled and received back into the church. So these two things were a catalyst of the way we think of Lent, right? Thinking of it in terms of like preparing in terms of baptism for those that just wanted to become and enter into the church, and those that were repentant, right? Trying to get received back into church and be recognized, reconciled with God and the church.
These are therefore two important elements of Lent, preparation for Lent. And it seemed to die out in the Middle Ages until the Second Vatican Council. The order of penitence, which was a public participation in the sacrament of reconciliation, was then replaced by confession. And, you know,
that's what we see today.
Yeah, a lot of churches have extended confessional hours, and, mm-hmm. you know, they really promote everyone to go to confession, before Easter. So then, you have monks in the Middle Ages taking personal confession. And so, the idea of public confession, public penitence was put away and replaced by a personal confession. In the early Middle Ages, it was stated that every person had to go to personal confession on of their sins to a priest at least once a year. And it's also required to receive communion at least once a year. Order of Catechumens was replaced, which is what we have today, RCIA, the Rite of Christian Initiation.
And that's what we see a lot of today, and, you know, during Lent is, you know, those that are in the RCIA program, where they are preparing, right, during Lent for to be welcomed
and
into the church.
They get baptized on the Holy Saturday Mass.
Yeah. And so, yeah, and then the practice of fasting during Lent and the 40 days of fasting we see at the Council of Nicaea. That was when it was first established. And it was all in preparation for Easter. But at that time, people participated in a really stringent fast, a fast that they would take into the evening. But then this became more and more relaxed as time went on, as years went on. And in order to break their fast,
yes,
that's where the breakfast word
this
comes
is where
from,
we
breaking
get the word
their
breakfast,
fast.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. It became closer then to the middle of the day. So it became more relaxed, And nowadays, it's really only 2 days that we're asked to fast, the Good Friday and the Ash Wednesday only.
The sad thing is we talk about fasting. The big thing now is fast food, right?
Yeah.
We're always in a hurry. We can't even enjoy our meals. You know, something, I think a good fast would be fasting from fast foods.
Yes, that would be. And also nowadays you also see an abstinence of meat on Fridays during Lent, right? That's also required. So we're preparing for something special during this time of Lent. Just like Christ out in the desert, we are fasting. We're preparing for the feast of Easter, for the resurrection, when we are welcomed into eternal life with our God.
So right now we're going to take a short musical break. And when we come back, we will talk about the gospel, and we will enter into the desert with Jesus.
Thank you.
Are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now continue with the program Jesus with Us, Reflections of Joy, hosted by Mariangela Artuso and Nick Massa.
Welcome back, dear listeners. We're going to now read and reflect on a gospel we often or sometimes hear on the first Sunday in Lent. And it's the gospel according to Mark. John the Baptist said, "After me is coming someone who is more powerful than me, and I am not fit to kneel down and undo the strap of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." It was at this time that Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized in the Jordan by John. And at once he was coming out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart like the Spirit, like a dove, descending on him.
And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. My favor rests on you." And at once the Spirit drove him into the desert. And he remained there for 40 days, and he was put to the test by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and the angels looked after him. After John had been arrested, Jesus went into Galilee. There he proclaimed the gospel from God, saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is close at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Wow. There's yes. so much to talk about in this gospel. Mm-hmm. You know, one day we'll do a Lectio Divina on it. But this is when Jesus was baptized and went into the desert. Yeah, in Isaiah, there's a quote we'd also like to share saying, "A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." As mentioned before, 40 represents a number of testing and trial. As we enter into the desert, the realities are this. It can be very enchanting with the beauty of the blowing, the sand dunes and the design. Mm-hmm. It can be sunny. It can be very
hot.
You know, and and then it can be very hot. Mm-hmm. It can be very harsh, mm-hmm. be very wild and unpredictable
and very barren too.
Yeah. Barren emptiness and only the strong survive. So when Jesus went into the desert, it was about a formation, a purification. How did he survive? It was his reliance on God.
Because God is always there present for us.
So what are the three things that Jesus faced, he had to deal with?
It was mental, physical, and spiritual temptations, right?
Yeah. So the mental part, you know, is we just read in the gospel that life is going good. Jesus was baptized and God screams out, "This is Jesus, you know, my beloved with whom I am pleased," right? Jesus is on top of the world. Next thing you know, he's in the desert. Bam. How about us, right? We can feel like that too. We can be on top of the world, just like Jesus, and then we're thrown into like even this COVID thing where we can feel isolated. We can feel alone, right? Like it's affected us mentally, right?
Especially at this time,
Last month, we talked about mental health awareness, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a continual thing, and it's a renewal of our mental health, you know? And how do we do that? We do what Jesus did. He relied on prayer and his relationship with God to help him stay focused to get through it.
Yeah, so, and the being alone allows us to be that, to have that focus, right?
So some of the physical things that Jesus faced were?
There were desert storms, so the wind and strong blowing sand. It was very cold at night. Not only in the day was it like, was there their burning sun, but in the night it was cold. Just frigid, like you know, it could be even almost like winter. And that can really drain us. And so, you know, Jesus can save his energy at this time. As I mentioned, the opposite is like during the day was burning. It was so, so hot. Maybe 120 or so more degrees.
Yeah, scorching heat. So what Jesus had to do is he had to cover up with like layers of clothing, not heavy clothing, but so he wouldn't get burned.
Right.
You know, he had to travel
like
smart.
Like a protection, right?
Yeah. He had to travel smart. He had to travel early or he had to travel late, but don't travel midday. It's not recommended.
It was also very dry and barren, and he may have started to hallucinate and see mirages, like as you see in sometimes when
like some of these some of these videos that we kind of get. It's like, what's really going on? Are people being affected? They're hallucinating and just.
But even you know, as sometimes when you're driving in the summer on really really hot days, when you look ahead, you kind of like that haze, and you say
moment.
You see like it looks almost like water at times.
Yeah,
so hot. Yeah.
So the you know another you know that like Marin just said, it's like. You know, we start
there's that little bit of hallucination,
a mirage. You think it's paradise, but it's like, we're still stuck in the desert, right?
There were other threats, too.
Other physical threats, you know, like snakes, scorpions, thieves.
I can't imagine.
Bandits, like in the gospel said, the wild animals, right? Mm. And what did he do?
Well, he protected himself by carrying a stick.
A stick for protection. Sure. And
prayed the rosary, maybe.
Prayed. Yeah, he prayed. But what Miranda is saying is that, you know, our protection is the rosary, right? Mm-hmm. When we pray that is our
protection.
Shield,
yes, that protection. Is. That definitely is.
So the third, we spoke about the mental and the physical challenges that Jesus faced for 40 days. And a big one is the spiritual temptation, which is a recurring theme in our Christian life. Now, the spiritual, when the devil gave him the three temptations, were when, you know, he had Jesus near the end, maybe throughout, or maybe most likely in the end, because Jesus was hungry, Jesus was anxious, Jesus was lonely, and he was tired. So I like to call it the H-A-L-T, halt. So when you feel the halt principle, that means halt means to stop.
Right.
We know something's not right, right? So if you're hungry, anxious, lonely, or tired, those are usually the moments where we might not make good decisions.
No.
And we could be too emotional. We could get upset. It's at that moment.
That's kind of like a weak point.
Yes. And that's exactly when the devil wants to enter
and
into
strike.
Us. So if we're aware that we are in these types of feelings, step back, know what's going on, take a break, breathe, you know, start to laugh, do something, because don't fall into his trap, because we're going to talk about the three temptations.
And so the first of Satan's temptation was an attempt to get Jesus to doubt God's divine care. By turning stones into bread, Jesus would be acting independently of his Father, using his own power to meet his needs. The Lord's response reveals that spiritual nourishment is more valuable than physical nourishment. So Jesus does not engage in conversation with the devil.
Yeah, he just rebukes him. He doesn't get into a dialogue with him.
Though he was so hungry,
he
turned it, away.
The second temptation. The second temptation is an attempt to get Jesus to test God's promise of protection from physical harm. But Jesus refused to test his Father's faithfulness and protection. He trusts God completely and does not need such a test.
And the third temptation gives Jesus the chance to grab hold of the kingdom and avoid the cross. Boy, that would have been like, that's quite something to avoid it, right? The Lord's response is one of no compromise. He would not worship false gods. He would stay totally loyal to God alone.
Yes,
quite the feat.
Yeah, because he knew the power that Jesus had, and he wanted that so bad, and he tried to trick him, right? And so we need to be aware in our lives, you know, what people are saying or doing, and just stay faithful to God and keep him at the center. So some of the things we can do for Lent are read the Sunday scriptures.
Before we go to Mass.
Be prepared.
Mm-hmm.
Attend Eucharistic adoration or have the silent, quiet Bible time. Make 15 minutes in the day.
Mm-hmm. We can donate and maybe even, you know, be a little bit radical about it. Give a little bit more
than we usually do.
Give things away that, you know, just give it away. Pray more in the day and especially at work. How about go or watch online a weekday Mass? Or if you can't do it every day, maybe one day a week.
Read the entire Gospel of Mark at one sitting. Hold a crucifix. Pray the rosary. Meditate on the stations of the cross, especially on Fridays.
Mm-hmm. How about unplugging your phone from social media, especially? We don't need all that social media. Buy a book of daily reflections and keep it by your bed and, you know, open it up and pray with it.
You know, volunteer during Lent and afterwards and improve our vocabulary. Maybe not using, you know, words that maybe we shouldn't be using, right? So I will say things we should fast from, and Maria Angela will mention things we should feast on. So fast from judging others.
Feast on Christ dwelling in them.
Fast from fear of illness.
Feast on the healing power of God.
Fast from words that pollute.
Feast on speech that purifies.
Fast from discontent.
Feast on gratitude.
Fast from anger.
Feast on patience.
Fast from pessimism.
Feast on hope.
Fast from negatives.
Feast on encouragement.
Fast from bitterness.
Feast on forgiveness.
Fast from self-concern.
Feast on compassion.
Fast from suspicion.
Feast on truth.
Fast from gossip.
Feast on purposeful silence.
Fast from problems that overwhelm.
Feast on prayer that sustains.
Fast from anxiety.
Feast on faith. So now we would like to share some prayers with you appropriate for Lent. Come, my light. Come, my light, and illuminate my darkness. Come, my life, and revive me from death. Come, my physician, and heal my wounds. Come, flame my divine love, and burn up the thorns of my sin. Kindle my heart with the flame of your love.
A Lenten prayer for strength and protection. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you know that we are set in the midst of so many and great dangers, and that by reason of the frailty of our nature, we cannot always stand upright or be as courageous as we want. Dear Lord Jesus, grant us the strength and protection to deal with all this. In your name we pray. Amen.
A Lenten prayer for a clean heart. Create a clean heart in me, O God, a humble heart, a meek heart, a peaceful heart, a benevolent heart, a devout heart which does evil to no one, which does not repay evil for evil, but overcomes evil with good, which loves you above all things, thinks always about you, speaks about you, gives you thanks, delights in the hymns and spiritual songs, and has its citizenship in heaven. Amen.
Amen. A Lenten prayer for the comfort of God's grace. Almighty God, grant that we who deserve to be afflicted for our evil deeds may mercifully be relieved by the comfort of your grace through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
So, dear friends in Jesus, the last part of our program we would like to dedicate to the memory of Father Vito Marciano, who was a near and dear friend of ours, not just to us, but hundreds, if not thousands, right? When you get to know him, you knew him personally, right?
Yes, because he was always, like we said at the beginning, always present to people. And he also presided at our wedding, so he has a special place for us in our hearts.
Yeah. Incredible. Yeah. So we're going to try to cram 66 years of wonderful things that Father Vito did in the short
last part few of moments our program.
That we have. Yeah. So we'll start with Father Vito was dedicated to the Holy Family. Jesus at the center. He was devoted to Mother Mary. And you know what? Let's say a Hail Mary for Father Vito and his family.
Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
He was also very dedicated to St. Joseph. We had the Feast of San Giuseppe, right? And St. Joseph is also the patron saint of Canada. He loved his art. If you ever walked into his office, you think you were walking into the museum
of sacred art
of St. Peter, right? They're just incredible. Just incredible. We're worried if you turn wrong, you might knock something over, right?
Dear, you don't want to do that.
You know, he had great love of mentioned art, and he helped design churches, and he was in the midst of building a church at his
in Brampton
where he was at St. Patrick's. He also loved
sacred music, and he introduced us to Taizé, which is so beautiful.
Which we played
very meditative,
and a couple songs, and we'll close with a wonderful Taizé song that just so much is like Father Vito, right? He loved statues. He put statues in our church.
And as a wedding gift for us, he gave us a nativity set, right?
Yeah, so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And so he loved art and statues and things that were so full of grace, right? Not sure if you knew, he knew many languages. He knew Latin, he knew French, he knew Italian, and of course, English. He also, let the Life in the Spirit course happen at our church. And boy, yeah. Let me tell you, we truly felt and witnessed the wonders of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, during it was quite an experience.
Those 6 weeks.
So yes, it was. Holy Very charismatic.
Yeah. Come, Holy Spirit, come into our hearts always and be with us.
At Christmas time, he introduced a lot of feasts, right? There was the Immaculate Conception. There was, St. Nicola, where he dressed up as the saint, St. Nicola.
Yeah, and he inspired me to keep that tradition at All Saints. Mm-hmm. And just so many wonderful things that were brought, not just to our parish, but I'm sure a lot of parishes can relate to these things.
And he was very enamored by nativity scenes. He had hundreds of nativity scenes. And like I said, he gave us one. So we have at least that from him. We'll be always reminded of him when we always take it out, at Christmas. He also had, started the tradition of we played the tombola, right? Which is a tradition of Italy, right?
With the chestnuts,
bingo, that is.
Yeah.
Right? That's what his tombola is, bingo. And the many plays, right?
Yeah, especially the Christmas plays.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus being born in the,
And the baby Jesus, right? That he, would see.
Yeah, we'd get a child born a couple months old. And
they would get to play the part.
Yeah, many live animals, sheep, goats.
Yeah, he would always think about bringing the gospel to life through these animals, right?
Yeah. And he had a donkey, and we had two donkeys. We had Jenny, and when Jenny passed away, then he had another donkey, a replacement. So we had Eeyore. And if I'm not mistaken, I heard maybe once or twice he may have even had camels for the feast day of the Epiphany when he was at the Epiphany of Our Lord Church.
He would think, how could he make this happen? But he would make it happen.
He would make it happen. Mm-hmm.
And at Easter time, there was the beautiful Easter Vigil where it was a 3-hour mass, and he would say every single reading.
Yeah. And he almost made 3 hours. Once we hit two hours and 45.
But I just loved it. I loved it.
So many wonderful masses that he shared with us and with many other parishes, right?
He also had the Seder dinner, right, which showed us our Jewish roots of Christianity.
Yeah, and we'd have Palm Sunday again with Jenny or Eeyore. We'd have Jesus riding on the back, and have the young children process in first, waving the palm branches. We had, he loved drama, he loved play, and he did the passion play, where he involved, at least 80 to 100 young people at the many churches that he was the pastor at.
And during Holy Thursday, he started in our parish an hour in the garden with Jesus. And it was a time for youth to be present and spend some time, during that time in the hour.
And then, from there, he kept the church open, like other churches.
Through
the night. So we went from the hour in the garden to, the
spending time,
where we had all the scenes, we had Mary, Our Lady of Sorrows. Mm-hmm. We had Jesus with La Pietà, and it was just so beautifully done with the candles and the way the room was set up. You just felt so
close to Jesus, right? That's exactly what he always wanted us to do.
Our faith. And then it led to the vigil that Marianne just mentioned, and the big day, Easter, when Jesus conquered death, right? Yeah. And went to heaven and was resurrected. There's just so many things, but it wasn't enough to do things inside of the church. He did things outside because he said often, the mass isn't over because we are sent out.
Yes.
And so when we're sent out, these are the things he did.
Yeah. And there are so pilgrimages. Everyone wanted to go on a pilgrimage with him because he had a special way of wherever you went, he would go off the beaten path and would bring something that, you know, people didn't think of or didn't know about in this pilgrimage. Yeah. And we were honored to go on a few pilgrimages with him through to Midland, to Montreal and Quebec, like Madeleine du Cap, right? See Madeleine.
Yeah, we went to Frankenmuth.
We went to Frankenmuth with him.
We also went to Our Lady of Victory.
Yes.
And the monastery in Niagara Falls, where we spent time, you know, in the chapel. And it was always centered around Jesus.
And in Midland, he took us to a field that no one, a lot of people don't know about, but where they were actually martyred,
Two of the Jesuits were martyred.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, like with Father Vito, we did lots, but those moments, it was like, I guess you could call it a moment on the transfiguration was like a aha moment. It's like
kind of enlightened you, right?
Makes you realize, you know, how deep our faith is and what some of the martyrs did before us. And, you know, and throughout Lent, this is what we're asked to do, is to go deeper into our faith.
And he led many pilgrimages to Israel, to Italy, to Germany with the World Youth Day.
He was forever young. So,
yeah. And had always that energy because he was everywhere.
Everywhere. And he never ran out of
energy.
And
he never stopped.
Other things he did outside.
He you know, brought that tradition from Italy of the processions, right? The way of the cross into the streets, right? With the community and show our faith in
the streets. Yeah, we had to get police escorts sometimes. We had to close La Rose down. And the beauty is a lot of these things that we've mentioned are continuing to happen, not only in our parish, but other parishes that he's been at.
Yeah. So and it's wonderful.
It's a grace that we need to keep it going, right?
We also did a procession with St. Demetrius. So we joined two communities together.
Two communities, you know, and we also did procession of Corpus Christi, which, you know, we continue to do at All Saints. And in the summertime, we were so blessed because, again, he's from the same town as my parents. He would be, he would do mass for a Saint Joseph Festa that we've been doing for like maybe 40 years. And we were so blessed, you know, to be in his presence
for the mass
as he did the sacrifice of the mass.
Beautiful.
And so, you know, other things he did were Saturday afternoons. We had wonderful speakers like Father Frank come in, Caparelli. He would come talk to us, the marriage classes, family day celebrations. And it's just so much. It's so beautiful.
Yes.
It's just like we look back.
Lots of beautiful memories.
As sad as we are,
beautiful memories.
We smile knowing that we know where he is, right? Mm-hmm. And he always spoke about, you know, go out into the deep, Duke at Altum, right? And he always he said that one story of a girl that frantically called him at 2 a.m. and she was so upset and she was emotional because she was considering an abortion. So when he called, she called. It was an unknown caller. Father didn't have the number. So he consoled her. He gave her hope. He talked to her. He prayed with her. And as they finished conversation, he tried to get the number, but he didn't get it. So he often wondered what happened. Where did she go? What, you know, and a year later, he gets another call at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Unknown caller. Same lady. This time she's very emotional, but with joy. She called back, thanking Father Vito for the kind words, but now she was calling to set up a time for the baptism of her child, which she chose to keep, which is the sanctity of life. And so another story he shared was the three kings, right? When what happened with the three kings when they encountered Jesus?
That they would go a different way, right? And so, yeah, the way he explained it to us is that they were changed. And so they would go a new way because of they were changed, right?
Yeah, and then we were able to attend the Mass where Monsignor Borian said some very beautiful words in regards to the life of Father
Vito. The funeral,
how they were close, and you know why he, you know, like we sometimes we say, did we do so much? Was our life worth it? And the beautiful words that Father Monsignor Bordian said, yes, it was all worth it.
Yes. Right?
So just, it was just so emotional, right?
And another memory is during one of the many, one of the evenings where we were practicing for the Passion Play, is he told us, all the youth, that church, this is our home. Maybe our, like our second home, our home. It's our home.
Yeah, you're always
so
welcome.
So we're always welcome here. That's always, that struck us too.
Yeah. And he was always welcoming, inviting, and filled with joy.
So now, Father Vito, we imagined you at the big banquet in heaven with Jesus, Mary, Joseph, the saints, and all our departed before you. At that big banquet in heaven, life has not ended, but it's changed.
He taught us to show up, to immerse ourselves to the Word of God. He showed us many ways to take Jesus out into the world. Father Vito remains in our hearts and minds. And when we become the hands and feet of compassionate souls, a life well lived, he never dies.
So it's up to us to carry the church, the fire of the Holy Spirit, and continue the legacy of bringing people to Jesus Christ. Eternal rest grant to him, O Lord, and let their perpetual light shine upon him. May his soul and the souls of all the faithfully departed rest in peace. Amen.
Amen. So thank you, dear friends in Jesus, for being part of this evening about Lent and a tribute to Father Vito. And we say good night. Have a good Lenten season. And we will talk to you in April.
You have been listening to Jesus With Us, Reflections of Joy, hosted by Mary Angela Artuso and Nick Massa.